Welcome to Cleveland, Arike Ogunbowale, former Notre Dame women's basketball player, national champion, and then 2020 WNBA scoring champion. Also a member of the Dallas Wing, so appreciate you coming on. We in Cleveland, and we had to find some time to get you on a podcast. I was like, you not coming to Cleveland and not getting on a podcast. I mean, you've been in Cleveland for like a few hours, but like so far, like how's the environment been? What's the energy around Final Four like?
Yeah, you could tell everybody's excited. Even at the airport last night, I got here at like 12 a.m. Just a lot of fans coming in excited, wearing their team gear. So it's a good vibe right now. I'm excited to see, you know, what happens this weekend.
Now coming back as, you know, a spectator and, you know, coming to these events now being in the WNBA, what's the difference, you know, when you were actually playing in the Final Four and then now seeing it from this point of view?
Yeah, I think just as a player, you're not really doing a lot of the stuff that the city has to offer. Like you're doing with the team stuff, you're eating the team food, going to practices, the gym. Like you're not really out and about. So like being able to just see the fans and, you know, what they're doing in the city and the type of activities that the city has to offer them, that, you know, it's a weekend for games, but they're coming here and having a good time too. So I think it's dope.
I feel like for fans, like we see it as, like, it's just a month long of basketball.
Yeah.
And so we don't really see it from the perspective of the actual athlete who might have to also go to class, have the stress of the whole university, whole fan base watching, even fans of, you know, who are just tapping in for the first time. What's the stress like being able to play, you know, the round of 32, the Sweet 16, then the Elite Eight, and then the Final Four all in, you know, this small amount of time? What's that stress like?
It's definitely stressful. I mean, universities make it a little easier for an athlete just because you have tutors and stuff, but not really, because there are some teachers who don't care about basketball. So they don't care about what you got going on. You could be in, you know, the hardest game of your life and you still got a paper that's due. So I think the fans see it and they might get upset about this, this and that, but they don't even know like what these athletes have to go through. And, you know, that we still have deadlines, like we're still students, so we still have stuff to complete. And if it's after a game, we got to get back to school. We might have a test. Like it just doesn't stop. Some teachers are lenient, but I've had teachers where like, it's a game, yes, but you still have to, you know, get your work done like everybody else. So it's definitely tough to navigate.
Was there one moment when you were, you know, chasing the championship or y'all on your run where it was just like it might have got too tough to where it was like you maybe had to put basketball second? Or was basketball always first for you?
Yeah, once we got to the tournament, like even if the schooling was hard, like basketball was still in that tournament for sure. It was still a priority. I mean, I try not to slack on my stuff. And that's when tutors came into place and, you know, use all the help that the school offers you, but basketball was definitely number one for me at the time.
Now, would you say, now even just growing up, I'm sure you played in a bunch of, you know, AAU tournaments, big games, championship games. Where does that final, and also now in the WNBA, you know, playing in some playoff games and things like that, now where does the Final Four sit for you?
I mean, for my younger career, that's definitely number one.
Yeah.
Like just winning a national championship, I mean, in college, that's, you know, as an athlete, that's everything you dream of. So
Ogunbowale for the win. Good! Arike Ogunbowale wins the national championship for Notre Dame.
That's definitely number one, but, you know, I don't think I've reached, you know, where my highest point yet, so I still have a ways to go. But if I'm talking like, you know, prior years up until about a couple years ago, that was probably my number one for sure.
Your national championship is very unique, too.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to – I went to the Final Four game. It was in Columbus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I got to go to that one, and I got to see the shot versus UConn.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't get to go to the game to miss the championship game, but obviously watched it on TV. Talk about just those two moments, because I don't think I saw it and then went crazy, but I don't think we've ever talked about it. And I'm sure you was on Ellen.
You got
to talk to Kobe after that. Like, your life probably changed after those shots. But, like, what was the work, you know, prior to that, probably since you was a kid, that led up to that moment that gave you the confidence?
Yeah, I mean, it's just every day, like, just being in the gym. And I think people see, like, you know, the glory hitting those shots. But it's just, like, there's plenty of times I miss. Like, people don't know the year before my sophomore year. It was Elite Eight. We were playing against Stanford to go to the championship, and we had the ball. We might have been down one or something. I don't remember. But I shot the last second shot and missed it. And, I mean, Stanford went to the Final Four, and we didn't. So a lot of people don't know that. So it's like just being able to have the confidence to continue, you know, to be able to take that shot. And that doesn't come with, like, being prepared, but your coaches and your teammates have to trust you. So they, you know, they want the ball in my hand at the end of the game. And I think I've built that reputation where they let the ball be in my hands. But it's definitely, like, that the moment – people see, they don't see, you know, all the bads right. and all the hard work that goes into just that couple seconds, you know.
What was it like when you hit the shot, the first game, the Final Four game?
Yeah, I mean, it was wild. I mean, I don't know. Like, it was really kind of hard to explain, especially at the time. But it was just, first of all, in my career, we haven't beat UConn yet. So my junior, that was our first time beating UConn. We always played them in December, the Dickie V Challenge, and we lost my first 2 years. So that was our fourth time playing them, because we played them in December, my third year. So beating them, that was definitely amazing. But I mean, just going to the championship, like, just winning that, like, it was just crazy, honestly.
I definitely want to talk about, now, obviously, you were a scorer. I mentioned you were a scoring champion in the WNBA in 2020. But now you see, you know, the rise of Caitlin Clark and just what she's been able to do this year, and just, you know, shooting from the logo and, you know, even being able to get to the hole, too. I think a lot of people sleep on that part of her game. But you being a scorer and just going to see her and now seeing the way she operate, like, what's something that's really unique about her game?
Yeah, I mean, she's just fearless. I feel like, you know, she's coming in and pulling up. And, you know, Iowa, she has the green light, and she takes full advantage of that. But she's an amazing player. You know, any player that can create their own shot, they're going to be good, especially as a pro. So she's definitely, you know, been, you know, a pioneer. We'll look back and be like, she was definitely a pioneer for women's sports and women's basketball, and just, you know, the kind of traction that she's bringing to the game. And, you know, she's delivering every time somebody comes to watch. She'll have 30, 40. So she's definitely, you know, doing her job and, you know, excelling our game. And she's fun to watch for sure.
The Muffet didn't get you the green light?
I end up getting the green light towards junior, senior year. Not right away, though, for sure.
Yeah, nah. Because, I mean, y'all had some – I feel like when we were there, it was a lot of talent.
I mean, my whole starting five, we got drafted. So that was the first time ever. So we definitely had a lot of, you know, star power around.
And then now, even, you know, from you leaving and then Coach, you know, Ivy taking over, who I think she's doing a great job. I love where the team is at this year. I'm very excited for what's to come in the future for the team. What were some of your thoughts, you know, on their season, and then maybe some thoughts on the upcoming season?
Yeah, they've done amazing. Like, since we graduated, the way Neil is, they kind of had to start over. Like I said, all five starters got drafted. So she definitely had to kind of rebuild a little bit, but she's done an amazing job, and they're just going to be good for years to come, especially with her. She's was able to be mentored by one of the best coaches to ever coach the game, Coach McGraw. So her having that type of history and knowing basketball, you know, she knows basketball, and she's a great person, just a great person in general, somebody to lead a team. So they're definitely get a championship in her time career. I don't know when it's going to come, but I know it's going to come.
Do you think NIL plays a factor in decisions for, you know, young female athletes when also going to college, but also leaving the college to go to the WNBA?
I think now it does. I mean, because especially the WNBA is very hard to make. There's only 144 spots. Well, there will be more next year because we're adding another team, but that's only adding 12 more spots. So whatever that math is, was that 56, 156 or something? I hope I did that right.
Notre Dame degree right there. 144 plus 12. There it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I did that right. Kind of quick. Too.
Hey, I see it. That Mendoza degree.
No, so it's not a lot of spots. So I can see players that people might think, okay, after 4 years, they go into the draft, but it's no guarantee. Like, even players that have getting drafted first 12 aren't on the team. Like, it's hard to stick because there's so many great players and not a lot of spots. So I think that plays a factor in its own. But obviously NIL, like, if you staying in college long enough, it's hard to get brands too as a professional athlete too. Like, it's only a select few that have a lot. Like, everybody pretty much gets stuff, but like a Nike, like a shoe deal or something. Not every player has that. Like, I've been blessed to have a lot of things, but it's like not every player has that. So if you're getting, you know, you're getting fed, first of all, you ain't got to pay for nothing in college. Like, you're getting NIL from hometown people who love you. Like, I might stay too, honestly. Like, if it's like, you might not get all of that once you get pro. So I think NIL is definitely making a, you know, big impact on college players.
I do want to touch on that point where you said, you know, it is limited spaces in the league. Because I was looking at Alexis, what was her name? The guard from LSU last year.
Yeah, Morris.
I thought she was really good. And I don't think she ended up making a team. But obviously a national champion, but also a key player on that team, and like was a bucket. And so talking about the growth of women's sports, like I see it in college and I see like the visibility and the recognition, like more viewership. But you talk about the limited spots available. You know, how can you fix that problem? Or I don't even know the question I want to ask, but like, how do we fix that issue?
I guess it's more teams. Like, it's tough. I mean, play. It's just like, it's just not a lot of spots, period. Yeah. Like, NBA, what do they have? 15 man. I don't even know what their roster is, but ours is 12. Like, okay. 12 is the max. So
12 and how many teams?
12 teams right now. So it's 144 spots, period. And obviously, there's a lot of women in college basketball wanting to get there, and that's just not possible. Like, so think of making the NBA and think of even half smaller of that, margin. That, like, and it's already really, really hard to make the NBA. So it's just tough. Like, that's kind of hard to change regardless. Like, adding more teams, yes, but still, there's only so many spots.
I got a little theory. How about we break up some of these power teams? Because I was looking at, and you may not be able to speak on this, but I was looking at some of the rosters. I was looking at the All-Star game not too long ago. And, like, the All-Star teams are made up of, like,
two, three, six, four teams.
Yeah, yeah, I'm like, yo, that's the issue right there. Yeah. It's like wage, like, Vegas got, like, four players on the All-Star.
Yeah.
Y'all had, like, two or three.
Yeah, we had two.
So it's like, I think you obviously adding more teams and then being able to split up some of these power teams, I think would bring a lot, you know, obviously more competition to the sport, but I think it'd just, you know, allow more opportunity. So put me in touch with y'all commissioner and, you know, I think I got a, you know, a theory or something.
I don't know.
That can make
I enjoy a super team because I enjoy, you know, competing against those players.
That's fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be fun.
Breaking up a super team, I don't think it's going to get more players on the team.
I think if you break it up, you break up the like, I'm Aces is who I'm talking about, but you and the Liberty, break them up. You take like two, put them on a different team, three, put them on a different team. And then now you fill those teams, but now obviously you got to create new teams, but you fill those teams with more college players or whatever. Now those teams aren't starting at last in the league.
Yeah.
They're going to have some veterans. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be good. You feel me?
I feel you. I don't know if I'm in support, but I feel you. I feel
y'all team straight. Y'all team straight.
I understand.
Y'all team straight. You know, until y'all become a super team, and then we're going to talk about breaking y'all up. But, nah, I mean, I think the WNBA and I think, you know, women's college basketball, like, has been something that I've, you know, been watching. And I feel like also going to Notre Dame since Skylar was there, it's always been a sport that I've watched.
Right.
But coming from Notre Dame and then going into the WNBA, how did Notre Dame basketball prepare you for your WNBA career?
Yeah, well, I just feel like having the coaching staff I had, they just got my mental right. Like, and obviously basketball, like I said, Hall of Fame coach and with Muffet, Neil was great, Beth was great, CO was great. But, like, just off the court stuff, too, I think that, like, a lot of Notre Dame players, like, we have a good, you know, business side to us off the court because we were prepared for that. And that's from schooling, too. Like I said, we went to the business school at Mendoza, which was always a top 10 business school in the country. So it's just, like, I learned a lot outside of the court that prepares me to be, like, a whole athlete in general from on the court to off the court to just everything type thing. So I think Notre Dame definitely prepared me for, you know, all aspects of being, you know, a professional athlete, not just on the court.
And definitely, obviously, we off the court right now doing some media, you know, brand stuff. But what would you say to a college athlete that's coming into the WNBA where you said brand deals are a little harder, where if they were in college, they got the NIL, they got the local, regional companies, you know, putting money into their pockets and all those different things. What's something that you would say to a player leaving college going into the WNBA to try to keep some of those brand deals and off-the-court deals going?
Yeah, I mean, relationship is the most important thing for anything. So if you build, you know, a strong relationship with whatever you have going on in your city, they're going to follow you. Like, if they like how you are, if you're a great person, if you're easy to work with, they're going to follow you. So I think people kind of get it wrong, especially with the women's players. They're like, oh, well, she's going to go to WNBA and make less money. No, like, a deal is a deal. Like, Kaitlyn signed with Nike. Nike's not leaving her because she's going to WNBA. It's following her. Angel signed with Puma or Reebok, whatever it is. It's following her. So it's going to follow you if you have a good relationship with them. Like, it's not just stopping. So I think people got to get that out of their mind. Like, oh, this is going to go away. Like, if they like you, if they, you know, are behind what you are, then they're going to keep following you and the money's going to keep flowing in.
How's that Dallas market?
It's pretty good. I enjoy Dallas.
Yeah. I seen you on the State Farm with Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
He a good dude?
Yeah, nah, he's cool people. For sure. He's cool.
Yeah. I also want to talk about, you know, just home, your hometown, your upbringing. Milwaukee, right?
Yeah.
So you got to love Cleveland if you're from Milwaukee.
Yeah, I love the Midwest. Anywhere in the Midwest, I'm a fan.
But, you know, talk about that a little bit. Viewers might not know, but your brother is in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So you come from, you know, an athlete family. And I feel like you both obviously made it to the highest level. So there is, you know, a sense of excellence, you know, around the household. But talk about just your upbringing and just, you know, maybe some of the stuff and back then that's kind of shaped who you are today.
Yeah, well, I mean, me and my brother are both professional athletes, but our paths were different. But first of all, like, there was never our plan to be a professional athlete. My dad's Nigerian, so academics was the most important thing, and my mom's a teacher, so they both, like, it was school, 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 and we worked really, really hard. Like, they trained us as if, like, I don't know, we worked really, really hard just to be the best at the time. We were never thinking of being pros, so just having that upbringing, just being competitive everywhere definitely shaped me for this. But, you know, I was always a top athlete, but my brother, like, he went to college, he was a walk-on, like, he had to get a scholarship, he didn't get drafted, and he's been in the league for, like, 6-7 years, so definitely just seeing him and how he had to grind to get where he is, and just how we grew up just grinding to get everything that we, you know, we have, and not really focusing on, you know, the goal, just in right now being the best. I think that really helped shape, you know, who I am right now as an athlete and a person.
Who went in the one-on-one matchup on the court?
Me and my brother?
Yeah.
Oh, me, for sure. He used to beat me.
I was gonna say, was he good at all?
He used to beat me. Yeah, he used to beat me, but I got him now by far.
Uh-huh. When did you get into hooping, but then also when did you know I could go somewhere with this game?
Yeah, I started hooping early. Like, I remember I was on my mom's fourth and fifth grade team in first grade. I wasn't that good, but once I got third, fourth grade, I was pretty good for my age. So I knew early I was pretty good, but I knew it was going to be a career once I got to college. And like
College?
Like, I was getting scholarships seventh grade. Like, I knew I was going to be really good, but I really wasn't thinking about the WNBA in high school. Like, I just was think about college. Like, I wanted to go to college, play basketball, but then once I got to college, I was like, okay, the next step after I graduate is going to be professional.
I was about to say, because you was a bucket in college.
Yeah, so my next step is there. You know?
I remember, I don't know if it was freshman summer or sophomore summer, but, like, it was you, Marina, and we would all, and, like, some of the football guys, we would just go to Ross or whatever,
yeah,
and we'd play.
Be hooping, yeah.
And, like, I had to strap up. Yeah. I ain't gonna hold you.
Yeah,
like,
nah.
I thought we was gonna go out there, you know, get on the Micah.
They thought they was so cold.
Man, nah. Micah swear he got the coldest mid-range, bro.
He just texted the other day, asking me some goofy stuff about basketball. I'm like, I seen him when I was in Minnesota. I got him some tickets, but it's cool people.
But also, I want to talk about some. Do you do any community work out in Milwaukee or also in Dallas? And then if you do, just talk about some of the stuff that you've been able to do to impact your community and your
hometown. Yeah, well, I have camps. Like, I just had a camp in Texas recently, and then I had one in November. And then I have one in Milwaukee, actually, in 2 weeks or a week or something. But this is my second year doing it there. So I just try to give back to the community however I can. This summer, I'm going to do a lot with the youth in Dallas. I'm signed with Red Bull. So we, last year, every three I made, they donated money. So we donated $50,000 to, like, some lights in a park so they can be lit at night for people to play basketball. So I just try to get involved with the community, you know. You know, it's always good to have that somebody pouring back into the youth. So it's been really dope. Yeah.
I know Red Bull probably sitting there like, it was one game where you went crazy from three,
probably,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
I know the Red Bull was probably sitting there like, man, you better go to the cup. So now we got the WNBA season coming up. You know, how have you been preparing for that? And just, you know, how are you excited for that?
Yeah, I'm super excited. You know, going into my sixth year, we just made semifinals last year for the first time. So, you know, that's a good, stepping stone to build off of. But I'm excited. You know, we got most of the team back. It's pretty much the same. And everybody's hungry. So I'm really excited. We tip off middle of May, May 15th or something. And it's going to be a big year. I mean, we got, you know, new college players coming in that people like to watch. We got, you know, a lot of great players already in the league that people are probably going to see now that we're getting a little bit more attention. But I think this WNBA season is probably going to be one of the best that they've had. So I'm super excited.
If there was one guest that you would like to see on Varsity House.
One guest.
But you have to help get them on.
I'm going to keep it Notre Dame. So I'm going to say Pat. You know, he played for the Bucks, hometown.
Okay.
He's doing well over there. Big piece for the Bucks. I say the Bucks.
Okay.
Even in Notre Dame family. I mean, say Pat. Yeah.
Bad. All right, Pat.
Yeah.
We're going to be reaching out to you now. I'm going to reach out to you first, Pat. And then, you know, if you don't get back to me, we're going to ask for the assist.
Yeah.
But no, I appreciate you. I appreciate your time.
Sure.
I know it was a tight schedule, but, you know, we got you here safe.
Yeah, that's dope.
Shout out, Terry. What is it? 21 Luxury LLC for the trip down to, you know, to the airport.
Yeah.
Arike Ogunbowale, appreciate you coming on to Varsity House Podcast.
Sure.
Can't thank you enough.
No, I appreciate you.